Isaiah 53 is one of those chapters in the Bible that is so rich theologically and Christologically that we could spend all this week and into next week studying it and still have only scratched the surface. However, since Dr. Coles is already scheduled to preach tomorrow, and I expect that at least some of you want to get to your classes today, we don't have that much time. Accordingly, I shall limit my attention to the first part of verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. The verb translated here, "it was the will of the Lord," means basically to take pleasure in, to delight in, to desire. The King James Version translates this as, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." The Lord delighted in crushing his servant, his son, the Messiah. He wanted to do it. Since with God, wanting is willing and ultimately achieving, we can also clearly say that it was the will of the Lord to crush his son. Perhaps this is some sort of philosophical position. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And so it was the will of the Lord to bring his son to the cross. After all, it is better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. On the other hand, God doesn't seem to follow this philosophical idea. The good shepherd leaves the 99 sheep to search for the one lost sheep. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few can't explain that action. Neither can it explain God's will to crush his son. Or maybe we just have the wrong philosophical framework. How about the end justifies the means? After all, what God accomplished through crushing his own son through crucifixion on the cross is nothing less than the salvation of the entire human race. It's your salvation and my salvation. Certainly, the end of salvation for all humanity, for you and for me, is laudable, and thus any means to that end should be desirable. But again, this is not consistent with everything that God does. Peter wanted to protect our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Isn't any means to the end of protecting Jesus from capture desirable? Our Lord answers in the negative. If our Lord needed protection, he would do it by having angels come down from heaven, not by having someone's ear cut off. It should not surprise us that these philosophical explanations do not do justice to what God tells us about himself. God's thoughts do not and never will conform to the wisdom of this world. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We will never be able to put God's thoughts in neat philosophical cubbyholes. It was the will of God to crush his son. Not that this was everyone's will. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I will, but what you will, your will be done. And God's will was indeed done. What God desires and wants, that he ordains, and that he brings to pass. There is no disconnect between desiring and accomplishing. What God ordains is always good. His will is just and holy. But how can desiring the death of one's own son be just and holy? If it is God who desires it, then it must be just and holy, for God cannot be anything other than just and holy. We can find a clue to what is happening here by looking at Jesus' baptism, which we celebrated last week. As Jesus was being baptized, God called from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And yet, It pleases me to crush him, to put him to grief, to put him on a cross, to cast him down to the very depths of hell. The two are very much and intimately related. In his baptism, Jesus took upon himself those very sins that had been washed from all those other sinners baptized before and after him. He willingly took upon himself the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The beloved Son of God takes the sins of the whole world, your sins and my sins, upon himself. And what does God do? It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. God the Father crushed his own Son, Jesus, and along with him all those sins he was carrying. God the Father caused his own Son to be nailed to a cross, and along with him all those sins he was carrying were also nailed to the cross. God the Father thrust his own Son away from himself down to the utter depths of hell, and along with him all those sins he was carrying were also carried down to the utter depths of hell to be buried forever away from you and me, away from the sight of God, out of sight and out of mind. God desired to crush his Son because he desired not to crush us. God was pleased to kill his Son just as he is now pleased to have us live with him. God crushed his Son for us, and now we stand before God just and holy as God is, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because God desired to crush his Son, we might well respond as Luther does in the explanation to the first article. For all this, I ought to thank him, praise him, serve him, and obey him. This is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.